Hey, gang, I want to make a quick announcement. Since we started this podcast in 2011, only the last 20 episodes have been available on the streaming services. You had to go back to the Podbean app or to the website, howdidigethere.podbean.com, to access past the last 20 episodes. Well, gang, big surprise. As of now, the last 100 episodes are available on all streaming sites. That includes the From the Vault episodes. All of the episodes, the last 100 episodes from this episode back, are available now on all streaming services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher. Go there. Whichever one you're subscribed to, whichever one you use the most, go subscribe to How Did I Get Here. Follow us, rate us, leave us a comment if you can, and check out the episodes, man. 100 episodes, all available. If you still want to go back beyond the 100 episodes, you can download the Podbean app or go to howdidigethere.podbean.com and always scroll through our entire catalog. All right? Get out there and enjoy the last 100 episodes of How Did I Get Here on your favorite streaming services. Let's get down. Attention, Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Are you having a difficult time navigating these tricky waters? Well, the Austin Music Foundation is here to help you. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening and connecting the local music community with innovative programs that empower musicians, music industry professionals, and music businesses within Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to help the Austin music industry succeed. Now look, ever since COVID took over last year, everything's moved online. The consultations are online. They're at no cost to the artist or to the music industry professional. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org to find out how they can help you. Austin Music Foundation is here to help. Let's get down. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever you did this weekend. I want to thank you for tuning in because, gang, I know you have a lot of choices out there. You have a lot of choices, and you chose to listen to How Did I Get Here, and I'm very grateful for that. For that, I will bring you a very great show today, okay? I promise you. As I said, I hope you guys had a really good weekend. I had a good weekend myself. It was beautiful weather here in Austin. I went to Houston on Saturday, though, to play a show. With Skyrocket, we actually played the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Gala. That was a long evening for these folks in tuxedos. I think the event was like 6:30 at night till midnight. There was like a cocktail hour when you get there, a sit-down dinner, some speakers, a live auction, and then as your reward for being good for all that time, Skyrocket, the band, takes the stage to rock your ass off. And so that's what we did. When we took the stage, those people were so ready to get up and do something, man. They were dancing in their seats where they could, like, the dance floor was smaller than the giant ballroom full of people. So everybody dancing, they're dancing on their seats. They're dancing around the stage. It's a whole scene. When we took a break about halfway through, almost midnight, and came back to the stage, a lot of people had made their exit, man. They were gone for the night. But we had a really good time, man. It's funny. We've been playing for 5 weeks in a row every week. Couple times a week, most of the time, rehearsing every week, really diligently rehearsing and getting a lot of new songs down and just getting in the groove of playing all the time now. And we're firing on all cylinders. Like, we get to these gigs, like the sound checks are short because we got our shit together and ready to go. When we hit the stage, we hit it on fire. We hit it on 10, ready to go. That's what this party was like. And that's what we probably wore them out. You know what I mean? Dance for an hour and 15 minutes and take a 10-minute break. And it's almost midnight. You've been in place since 6:30. Yeah, you want to go home. You're in a tuxedo for crying out loud. Lord almighty. Hey, gang, I want to tell you about something. You know that for the last 6 years, I've been talking about the artist development program that I'm involved with the Austin Music Foundation. I'm actually a mentor in the program. And this year, we have just finished our sixth year. The ADP6 class of 2023 is pretty much wrapped up. All the songs are recorded. And if you want to find out more about it, you can go to AustinMusicFoundation.org. Check it out. There's lots of stuff. If you're a musician here in Austin in the music business, there's so much stuff available, so many resources there. They have all kinds of panels. They have all kinds of mixers. You can sign up for a free consultation. Usually you'll be talking to my friend Einar, who's also one of the mentors in the artist development program. But we just finished year six. A bunch of great artists. Grace Sorensen, The Dead Coats, S.L. Hauser, Poet Hawkins, Jake Lloyd. Such a great, great time. And now, El Combo Oscuro, who was also in the program, is here on the show. That's right, man. John Dell and Mauro Lopez from El Combo Oscuro are on the show because they are releasing their song Despegue that they recorded with artists with Austin Music Foundation's Artist Development Program over at The Bubble with Chris Frenchie Smith and Einar Peterson. I was there hanging out. I got to watch them play. I got to hear them record in real life and hear them record this great song and another amazing song that you'll hear in a couple of months. Unbelievable band. If you don't know El Combo Oscuro, they are a psychedelic cumbia band from here in Austin. They've actually been on the show before. And John Dell from the band always brings me this great Cuban sandwich from this place on Burnett. That's name is escaping me again. Good Lord. Anyway, I ate that sandwich. It was great. Me and him and Mauro sat outside and had some good sandwiches. We sat down and had a really great conversation about how they came together during COVID, started practicing outside, and really kind of took off. A lot of it is like, you know, like when you start a band, you don't know. Like sometimes it takes a year and a half before people start catching on. But sometimes you start a band and it just goes. Like it goes. Like it has an organic flow to it and an organic magnetism to it that brings people to it. And that's what El Combo Oscuro has been experiencing for the last 2 years. Anyway, they are a well-oiled machine as well. They spent last year doing a residency over at Hotel Vegas. They've been playing a ton of shows. They will be playing at Austin Psych Fest 2023 on Sunday, April 30th. On Friday, May 5th, they'll be at Hotel Vegas in Austin. Friday, April 25th, if you live in Dallas, they'll be at Art Mission Oak Cliff in Dallas. You can find them at elcombooscuro.com. This single, Despegue, drops Thursday, 420, baby. That's right, man. Psychedelic Cumbia, new single. Also, we just found out their song is going to be Song of the Day on KUTX. Thank you, KUTX, for supporting Austin Music Foundation, our artist development program, and all of the artists therein. Anyway, it's been a great year working with all these artists, and El Combo Oscuro was a really fun band to work with. They really took advantage of all the things that were offered to them during the artist development program, and they've stayed great friends. So I had a really great time sitting down with Mauro and with John, and we have a fantastic conversation about how the band came together, how the band has stayed together, how the band has developed, and their experience in Austin Music Foundation's artist development program, and their new single, Despegue, that drops this Thursday, April 20th. So without further ado, John Dell, Mauro Lopez, and me chatting it up. Let's get down. People, they don't. Do you guys play private parties? A lot of private stuff?
I mean, we have.
Do you think that maybe, like, is psychedelic something that, like, turns off a corporate? You know what I mean? Is that.
I think so. The times that we've played stuff.
The times that you played corporate parties?
Yeah, I mean, I think our music's, like danceable and stuff. So it works. Totally. It works to an extent.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know if we're a little bit more niche than that. So we've played some of those that aren't, they're fun. They're really fun. But, you know, we're kind of like the background music.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Something. I don't mind that.
Or if it's a wedding, you know, and the people really, they saw us at a club and they kind of want that. They want that, you know, then that's kind of. But you know how weddings go. Like we played one in the daytime and we were pretty much background music.
Yeah.
But the couple was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the couple like even tipped us pretty well after paying us, which was pretty cool. So if there's any indicator of like, hey, was it enjoyed? That was it. So it's pretty cool.
Right. We've had the thing twice in the last month where we have a massive public show with people that have paid money to see us, and they are excited and freaking out.
That's awesome.
And the next night, we play something where it's just like, they didn't buy tickets. They went to a party, and there happens to be a band over there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I mean, they're killing it, but yeah. Like I'm talking to Jeannie from accounting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All the dice.
It's kind of the when you have a career in show business, it's everything's so weird. Like every day and every event can be completely different than the last. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Everything about it, money wise. Crowd wise, energy wise.
Yeah. I try not to let it weird me out. I'm prepared for the weirdness, but you never know.
I've seen you guys in some good situations.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part.
I mean, you guys are just a band that's only, what, 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years would have been this month, I think.
Okay. Well, so you're 2 years old.
Yeah. April 2021 was our first official show. So, yeah, we're 2 years old.
I mean, you guys, you know how, like, when you start some bands, they just don't go?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're playing for, like, 5 years, and, like, finally 15 people show up.
Yeah.
But then you just get in a band, and, like, all of a sudden you're like, woo, what's going on?
Yeah. It kind of started like that.
It has that energy, too. Like, when you see you guys, when you're around you guys, I have the amazing fortune to have been there while you were recording these new singles.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was super fun. That was a really nice studio too, a really nice room and
the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. The great Frenchie Smith. So you guys were part of the artist development program for Austin Music Foundation.
Yes.
And you guys, I will say, really got a lot out of it. I don't think I even have to ask you if you did. You did. You've taken advantage of the resources that we have for you. Fully.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Even down to that, like the South By gig was really cool. Cause there's other people on the roster. Like we had met, the Dead Coats a few times. Cause we went to like a party that they had outside of the Moody.
Yeah.
So we met them. We also played with them down at Hotel Vegas and, you know, we met them. I know that they were kind of coming off the best punk band of the year. So it was cool to meet them. But there were some other artists on the roster that, like, I had, you know, I just, like, listened to and I never met. But Jake Lloyd being one of them.
It's
were able to play. I was able to meet them. They played right before us at South By. So I met him and the whole group. And I was like, oh, man, I love you guys. And it was really cool. So that the whole networking part of it, even though, you know, like that, you know, punk or like R&B hip hop isn't exactly where we are. It's always cool just meeting people who are also doing it and in the grind. So,
but you have to admit that like the culture of sort of how music is presented now is mostly in this festival vibe. Like that's the biggest thing that music has had going for it for the last decade.
Yeah, for sure.
Festivals. And that, I mean, you'll get, you know, a band like you guys and, you know, Megadeth is the headliner one night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
To me, I think that's cool.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
The walls have gone down.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're fortunate, you know, in that regard, because, you know, there's been times where we've played like out of town or even in town. And it's mainly like Latin bands that sound the same and or not sound the same, but we're all kind of within the same realm
family.
Of. Same realm of kind of tone and sound. But then we've played other things where we're kind of like possibly even the outlier and we get a good response. And I think it's that people want to see one thing and then we go on and it's another thing and then the next band goes on and it's another thing and people are just there to have a good time. It's kind of like a variety show. And so that's been pretty cool. So and the AMF South By Southwest show was very much that. It was like we were able to play with like two bands that, you know, are very different in terms of like their genre, but everybody was there just having a good time. So
yeah. And I mean, the guy that played it before you guys got there is a guy with a guitar and another dude with a saxophone.
Yeah. Poet, yeah. Man. Yeah. I played bass with Poet.
Yeah, awesome. You did?
For one gig. Yeah.
Where?
We played at, what's that place called? Soho House.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had actually met him cause I saw him on the roster and I met him at an AMF party and I told him, hey, if you ever want to expand, you know, a band, I could, you know, you ever need any other instruments, I could kind of like dabble even on bass. And he took me up on it. He's like, hey, man, I need a bass player. I was like, all right, well, let's do it.
He is
so it's cool.
He's another guy in the program this year that really like took advantage, and not in a bad way, take advantage, but like you're offered this stuff for a while. So why not be like, hey, you want to do this?
Yeah,
and that's awesome that you did that. That motto is what we hope for in this program, is that there's some sort of sense of collaboration, because what Alex Vallejo and me and Einar all came up in was like a community. And ever since the invention of like Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and social media, people have their own little worlds and don't really collaborate like in person, like, hey, I'll go play bass with, like, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of like silos can exist in you know, the scene,
right.
And so
right,
yeah.
And it's really interesting, sort of like working with all those artists, everyone's needs are completely different. Like with Poet, I played a bunch of stuff on there. A&R played on there. Frenchie played on there.
Nice.
I think I co-wrote at least one of the songs I co-wrote with him. But like, you guys came in ready to go. Like, you guys have been recording now. I mean, you guys started out 2 years ago and have been like recording, playing shows. And then ever since everything opened up, you guys had your weekly show. Am I just telling you what you do?
It's a good rundown. We're kind of forgetting some
but then
of
all of a sudden, like, you have this, you had like the Cumbia night at Hotel Vegas, and that was going off. And now you're going to start releasing these singles. Like, what's on the horizon next? I know that Sevilla's moving away.
Oh, yeah.
You have another? Yeah. I know, that's a loss.
Well, Sevilla Del Mazo, our conga player, she's retiring, actually, and moving to Tennessee, so we hate to see her go. But, I mean, such is life. It's, you know, and like I told her, that this is just my point of view, but I don't think that in the history of Austin, at least in the last 20-some years I've been here, I've never seen such a large Latin music community.
No, I never have either.
There's so many now.
I never have either.
And it wasn't that way before.
No.
There was only like, well, Sevilla or something, you know, a couple of conga players. But now there's like so many great musicians just out there killing it.
Yeah. So. And it seems like Austin, you know how like cities have like hip hop sounds? And I've talked to a bunch of hip hop guys from here, and it's weird to say, but maybe Austin hip hop hasn't broken because its sound hasn't solidified yet. It hasn't congealed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, sure.
Houston had a sound, you know, all the LA, Atlanta, whatever, New Orleans, they all have these specific sort of sounds. And to me, Austin, the Latin music scene has really got like, it's got all the different kinds. There's the mariachis, there's all the different things, sambas, all the things. But the main sound that has congealed, I think, over the last decade is a band based in cumbia.
Yeah.
With a rad guitar player who will use fuzz tones and fucking organ.
Yeah, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, like that's a lot of the sound of what a lot of the bands here have.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, it's an actual scene. Every band has their own different thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, I was saying like equating them to classic rock bands.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're the Boston of the psychedelic cumbia thing.
Yeah.
The band, they're not really psychedelic cumbia, but like Nemegata to me is like the Rush.
Yeah. Oh, for
the,
sure.
You know, with all the
for
weird
sure.
times.
Yeah. They take it here and they take it there, and they're like a 3-piece powerhouse. So really cool. But yeah, I think the just generally, like, as like you're mentioning, like, you know, just like what the kind of sound in terms of like the Latin bands. Pretty much every Latin band that I've seen, I mean, there's the obvious bands like, you know, Money Chicha, obviously, you know, they're doing chicha music, which is, you know, psychedelic. The nature of it is psychedelic, but even like the Fantasma stuff has like some psychedelic stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's like some other bands like Malanota, for example, and they're kind of like up and coming. But they,
I don't even
man,
know
they,
guys.
They, yeah, they're really cool. They have like a horn section, but they also do kind of like, it's not straightforward. It almost dives into some like rock, go-go bordello kind of stuff.
Wow.
And then they also do like some cumbia stuff. It's cool, yeah. And then they do that cover, El Matador. Yeah, and then so obviously like Nemegata and stuff. So I think Austin inherently kind of has this like love for psych, and it's infused in a lot of different genres. And so yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of
what it is.
Been cooked into our sound too. Yeah,
psych has always been like since the 13th floor elevators. Like even for those weird country guys in the 70s, like they were fucking
psych fest.
Yeah, bringing out a fuzz pedal.
You guys are playing psych fest.
Yeah, they got a whole Latin. Sunday is all Latin, right? Yeah, I think so.
Most of it on Sunday. We're playing April 29th, right? Is that date correct? I don't know. It's the Sunday.
We'll see.
I'm getting just the dates confused because it starts on a Friday and Sunday.
Oh, wait.
I've got it
written down, dude. Sunday, April 30th.
April 30th.
Psych Fest Austin.
Is when we're playing. But yeah, most of that lineup that day / night is going to be Latin-oriented. So it's really cool. Google, who during the pandemic, I learned about his music because I'm from South Texas, from the Rio Grande Valley, and he was playing a show down there at this festival that you know, I know the people who promote it. And when I saw his name at first, I was like, who is this, you know, guy, Kuko? And, you know, like I listened to his stuff and it's super dreamy. And it sounds like this pop, dreamy, Latin psychedelic thing. And he was huge back in the day. I mean, it was a huge name to bring down to South Texas. And so when I saw him on the lineup, I was like, oh man, that's cool. We're actually going to be playing on a bill with him. So that's pretty cool. And Los Bichos, they're also really killer. And Nemegata is obviously going to be there. So, yeah. But mainly Latin music. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
What's that new band that has like Nemegata guys and
Gata Metal
John's
Haze.
Piece? Yeah.
Yeah. They're also great. I mean, you know, like doing Latin stuff. I mean, they kind of like go all over the place, but definitely those, psych overtones.
Those guys like Leche House and Adrian Studio, whose name is escaping me right now.
Electric Deluxe.
Everything goes through there at some point.
Yeah.
In the Latin music scene here.
For sure. Yeah. I think
somebody's getting a call.
Is that me?
Maybe.
When John and I first, when John hit me up, because we had met kind of on Craigslist, you had hit me up and you're like, oh yeah, man, you know, like let's jam. Yeah. And then the pandemic hit. And that's when we actually got together as El Combo Oscuro. But the first stop, like, you know, as soon as we had like, you know, one or two songs that sounded polished, he's like, all right, we got to take this to Lecha House. And we did like, it was within one of the first few months. So you're right. It's like one of the first stops is one of those two studios because those guys both kind of speak that language and they kind of know, you know, how to bring out some of that psych Latin sound to it. So,
right. They're all fucking great engineers.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
one thing they all yeah, do have in true. Common. And they all kind of draw out, I think, as producers. Because, like, Adrian did that. Did you hear that record that he did for The Sword?
No, I don't think
Metal
I heard
band?
It. No. That's
fucking
cool.
It's fucking great. But you wouldn't listen to it and go, oh, it's Adrian did this.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't even cross your mind. But,
yeah, yeah.
But what he did, I feel like what he does is bring out the honesty in the artist. Like I think Frenchie does too. Like the authenticity of the artist and who that person is and just like let's magnify that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
The bubble was quite the experience. That Johnny's talking about the AMF sponsored when Combo Scudo went in and it was Johnny, Alex, Anar, Peterson,
Frenchie.
And Frenchie from the bubble.
Frenchie Smith.
Yeah. Just the whole thing was quite the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, too, is, I mean, you guys, you guys are just really good. You know what I mean? Like, you have your shit together and you can tell you spent a couple years where you started playing. Because when you guys first started playing together, you started gathering in public areas and parks because it was pandemic time. You had to get your shit outside.
Yeah.
Last year.
That's right.
Like a year ago, me and Rosie went.
That's right.
So you did one at the airplane hangar, and then there was some weird tension. There was another band that showed up to do their thing.
Oh, that's
and
right. Was that's like right. A, that's right. There was,
it was
there
like
was
a standoff, a rehearsal.
Yeah, there was like a brass band that would practice at the same time that we would, but they were completely, you know, unplugged. So they were, you know, if any of them are listen to this, they were super sweet. And they're like, no, you guys could take this. We can kind of go anywhere. And they just walked to another, you know, area of the park and you know, did their thing. So it was super kind of them because, but that was our spot.
I was just thinking about the Samba band where the same thing happened. Oh, yeah. So we show up and there's like a
Austin Samba,
literally a 100 piece Samba band.
Yeah.
We thought we
dancers.
So we thought we could go maybe 100 feet away and do a rehearsal while they did theirs. And don't even try to compete.
Yeah. 50
with
drummers.
A Samba band,
I mean,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, how do you do that? Like, if you live in Austin, what we're talking about is those airplane or those hangars.
It was a Mueller airplane
Mueller.
Hangar.
Mueller airplane hangars right next to the food trucks, right there with a fountain and whatever. If you go there,
well, I don't know if I want to get into if we should get into too much detail of how we pull it off, but
I mean, is it underground?
Doable.
You just show up. It's like Renegade.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
Renegade. Yeah,
okay. All right.
We haven't done it in a while.
You're right, Mauro. Those guys might have been really nice. What happened was they showed up. I could tell there was like a little bit of like, what, man, those guys, what? And those guys are showing up, going up to the other guys, walking up the instruments. There's another band in here, you know?
Yeah.
And then I walked away with Rosie while the talk happened. So in my mind, it was super dramatic. It
yeah.
was like, oh, fuck you, dude.
It was
you
like,
come back at 9.
It was like Beat It, Michael Jackson video, and some Switchblades came out. There's a dance off, and you know, we won. It's I mean, it was always real interesting practicing there because like there were other bands, but a lot of different groups would meet up there, and there was like people who would practice like jousting or you know, stuff like that, and they would be like in armor, and as we would play, you know, just on the corner of my eye, I mean, these guys who were, you know, playing swords, you know, sword fight. I mean, I could see them kind of like grooving on it. Okay, well, this is kind of cool. Sometimes people just walk up and just, you know, chill there and listen to a few songs. So
were they like
kind of cool
official SCA guys? What's Society for Creative Anachronisms? And those guys are the guys that go out there and sword fight. They pretend it's like 1612 or something.
Possibly, yeah. They were like fully suited and stuff. So it's possibly them.
Yeah. In the 90s, my ex-wife and I moved into Hyde Park right next to that Elizabeth Ney Museum Park. And they used to go there. It was my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah.
I love it, man. It's hilarious.
It's like something
like Renaissance
uniquely
Festival.
Austin. There's a Latin psychedelic cumbia band playing on one side of the hangar, and then people having sword fights on the other side of the hangar, and then there's a like a what do you call that hardcore workout? Like people doing P90X some crazy workout like on the other side. Like, you know, it's just like a melting pot
and
for all
sure. Some dude like with his dog like smoking weed behind a tree, walking behind the tree, Birkenstocks Austin dude.
Yeah, for sure.
And the dancers, it's a good litmus test too when people just kind of happen to stumble upon, you know, the band playing, and then, you know, they try out some dance moves, and they're, well, you know,
families would go, and you know, there'd be kids dancing and mom and pop dancing, so it's pretty cool.
All right, let's talk about this Bega a little bit. Talk to me about the song. Like, how did you guys come up with that jam? I'm gonna play it on here so people will be able to hear it. It will be debuting.
I think. Yeah, so that song, I'm trying to think how it starts. So it might have been like, so the way that like we kind of approach songwriting is like, one of us will demo something out. Usually it's John or it's myself. We'll just cut a rough demo to kind of get the structure. And with that particular song, I think I was like listening to like Dick Dale or something, like that sort of Dick Dale sort of surfy weird guitar
Telecaster,
you know. And so like I played that and I just kind of ripped a cumbia beat like under it for the first demo, just as I guess a proof of concept. And then I sent it to the group and they're like, oh yeah, this sounds pretty cool, and you know, it kind of sounds like a spaghetti western. And I was like, okay, well, it sounds cool. Let me go demo the rest of it out. And again, that's really just like the structure of the song. This is like, you know, the A section, the B section, and let's see where it goes from there. And so what ended up happening with the song is, you know, when it went to the band, everybody kind of puts their own spin on it. We do the A, B, And then we're like, okay, well, what do we do after that? We can't repeat it, you know, like forever. So then we did that long drawn out bridge, and we're like, okay, well, let's get spacey with it.
I like the spacey part.
Yeah, and then John had, you know, something that was just kind of like a chant, and, you know, so him and I kind of chanted out. But I think just the writing of it, I my first thought, we've gone to Marfa a few times, and we've played, like, Viva Big Ben Fest, and when we recorded our first EP, we released it the first time we played at Viva Big Ben, and I went with a few friends, and, like, I remember listening to the EP, it had been published on Spotify that day, and we were like, you know how Marfa is. I mean, it's like desolate Texas desert. And I was like, man, our music kind of like sounds kind of cool. Like just looking at all this like desert and cactus and stuff. Yeah. So I wanted to lean a little bit harder on this particular song. And so, you know, that was the original idea. And then obviously you take it to the guys and, you know, all these other ideas are kind of thrown. It's like, you know, peppered on there. And then it kind of turns into another thing. So that was kind of the genesis of the song and kind of where it went. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And going in the bubble, that was then it really came to life.
Yeah, with all the details of, like, you know, hearing all the instruments and stuff, you know. So
yeah, the final arrangement, the kind of adding the final
Einar
sonic,
put some arrangement work into it. Am I wrong? I remember some definitely emails.
Yeah, there was some
one,
arrangement.
Right?
Yeah, to kind of bring like you know, like some vocals.
Well, because to keep, kind of keep the chant going on,
yeah, for sure,
and make that be the hook.
Yeah, for sure, sure. So, kind of pushing that closer to the front of the song, and then also just kind of bringing out some really cool guitar tones, like just to kind of like lay over the song to help build a sonic atmosphere. So, there was a lot of stuff like that during that song. And yeah,
what's that?
Einar brought the fuzz out.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a lot of cool stuff.
He brought out the fuzz.
Yeah,
the
fuzz, man.
Talk about Peter a little bit, the bass player.
He's quite the guy. He's Peter Fuller.
He's from New Orleans.
He is through and through from New Orleans. Yeah, he did the whole Bourbon Street band. You know, that's where he paid his dues.
Oh, yeah, 10,000 hours.
Yeah, I mean, from what I gather and from what I hear, it's there. You know, you show up early, you sound check, and you're there playing all night. You can do, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours straight with breaks. You know, plus load in, plus load out. So that's quite the, you know how that goes. You play for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a night.
I've never done that. I mean, I've done like four sets. Cedar Street, like when Skyrocket started playing, Cedar Street shit was like from fucking 9 until...
Like 2 a.m., close the place
until
down.
Like 1:40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they pushed the shifts, I think, as long as humanly possible. Or something. I don't know the exact hours, but they play a long time. So, and learn a bunch of new. So he's got that very distinct New Orleans style. You know.
He's got a really good ear, and I mean he nerds out about bass tone and stuff. So that's really cool too. He's also, you know, one of those types of guys who's like, all right, I got to stop buying new gear, and then like he'll show up with like something new, and he's like, yeah, I had to get it. I saw it, and I offloaded this other thing. So he's constantly upgrading. What? But I don't think John, you didn't know him prior to he was kind of like an online find, right? Like looking for a bass player.
Yeah, you know, when all of us, when right around the time you and I kind of start, because Mauro and I, we met prior to that too, and we've, you know, a couple of different things we worked on, but Combo Oscuro, right, you know, when we finally got down to it, okay, this is what we're gonna do, that's when, you know, we, you know, reached out to Peter, and you know, if there's changes along the line a little bit, started gaining a sense of identity quick,
yeah, for sure,
rather quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it has, like, I mean, it's formed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like no one really had to explain to you guys how to be you in any way. You know what I mean? Because it really—it's
pretty intentional music. I mean, it's definitely a throwback to, at least my perception of it, to you know, 70s radio, lo-fi, the border, Monterrey, Laredo, McAllen. Mauro,
that's the shit
far.
I like so much. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just kind of stuff we grew up on the radio. You know, Rigo Tovar, Bukis, Selena, you know, just all the classic stuff. And
I don't know what Bukis is. I always thought you were just pronouncing Bucky's in a
B-U-K-I-S.
Marco Antonio Solis.
Yep. Bookies.
But back to like Peter and like when he first started, like because he said that, you know, there's like some like salsa bands in New Orleans. So he had a sense of, you know, a general sense of the music. But like him and even Gabe Ceballos, who's on drums, like this is like their first time actually playing the music. Right. And so the way that we would kind of like describe it when we were like, you know, woodshedding songs was, you know, there's like certain conventions that need to happen to lock in,
right,
to make the music at least cumbia or right. salsa or something.
Yep.
So let's just all learn that as a group to lock in. And then once we kind of learned that, which we did, then we could start playing around with, okay, where do we have room to kind of experiment? And he's been really good with doing that. He kind of learned the sort of conventions of it. And then now when he writes a bass line, like you could hear, especially on recordings, you could hear where he's kind of bringing in some other stuff.
Yeah.
And it, man, it's super cool. So
his pocket, he's not like slapping and popping or doing anything weird like that. But his pocket is like total funk.
It is.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of cool. It gives you guys this kind of neat edge on the low end that a lot of bands don't have, like a sort of signature bass feel.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Is that weird to say? Because first time I heard him play with you guys, I was just like, oh yeah, this is like.
Yeah.
That's an accurate statement.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah. Most of your cumbia bands, they'll stick to the formula and they rarely deviate from that formula.
And it doesn't lay like the. You know, the accent, like, you know, there isn't that much of a space between the one and the two. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As much as there is in like, funk.
Yeah.
But there's a way to kind of, just like with most music, to kind of bring in a different influence. And what you get is
it's great.
A new take on, you know, the music while, like Mauro said, sticking to the fundamentals and the traditions of, you know, where it comes from.
That's a cool thing too, to be able to, because it's not like, you know, like a guy like Gary Clark Jr. who's doing that same thing but in a different style of music.
Yeah.
He gets in trouble all the time from people
because
he colors outside the lines. But it seems like in this world, it's like you're encouraged to like, okay, here's the structure. Now fucking knock it down.
Yeah.
Fortunately, cumbia has that advantage. So that's more, I think, a little bit more so than some. Okay, cumbia, it's, you know, initially from Africa, south, you know, Colombia, up. But one thing that is pretty obvious is that it's constantly evolving and changing. So what you hear this year, next year, maybe
different.
Something.
For sure.
It's going electronic. It's going to drums. It's going to bands with electric guitars and fuzz. It's going to keys, keys. And next thing you know, it'll be going to, I don't know, it could go anywhere.
So yeah.
It's not as limiting. And that's kind of what makes it appealing for me personally, is you can express yourself and just fucking have fun with it.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've found, like, even like over the last couple of years, a band that I kind of saw for years now, pre-pandemic and then post-pandemic, is like Como Las Movies has really found their voice.
For sure.
That's kind of a cool thing. Like, it's really interesting to see that and be like, wow, shit, you guys.
Yeah, they
found it.
Yeah, they found it. And then, you know, coming out of, I think even like, I might have seen them post-pandemic once, or maybe they were inactive. I forget. But it was like, out of nowhere, they just like came back and, you know, they were playing all these cool shows and, like all the videos that they were posting, like recordings of, just sounded like incredible. And they were, you know, playing ACL and then they played Free Week and it just kind of looks cool.
Yeah,
everybody's kind of into it. So that was like really cool because I had seen them a bunch prior to pandemic and it was great. But I think the lineup was completely different. Like
it was
a little bit more like the vocalist was different and it was good, but it was definitely different. So they like shifted and within the same name, Como Las Movies, it was cool to see like almost like a rebrand of it and a reimagination of it.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, for sure.
And it seems like also what's happened like in the post-pandemic, like people coming out of the pandemic, like some people are like a guy like Bob Schneider, his take on this thing was like, I'm not going to go on a bus for a month anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have to do that. It costs a lot of money and it's a drag and just fucking people all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly out and play shows that, like, that I do this whole tour to get to this one show that pays like, you know, 50 grand or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Some kind of thing like that. And so, but some people came out and like really were like, I'm going to do this with more purpose now. And I feel like the Como Las movies definitely came out like,
yeah,
El Combo Oscuro being a product of the pandemic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, oh, there was, it's definitely a product of the pandemic.
Very much intentional.
There's a lot of purpose to you guys. So maybe that's why you got your shit together so fast, is because you were like, all right, I know how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of time when everything stopped, I think everybody had at least a few solid months to not do anything and just think about their next step and, you know, plan things out accordingly instead of trying to plan it as things are going and going and going.
Right.
So, yeah.
Those first couple of months were weird. Now super I look back weird. On them and I'm like, this real, like, very stressful vacation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just laid around, watched TV, you know, walked around, you know, I just did whatever I kind of wanted to that didn't involve other people. And I was fucking freaking out the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. It was super weird. I mean, even going to the grocery, I mean, even just like getting gas, like, well, what can I touch and what can I not touch? And how close can, I mean, it was just super weird. Luckily, my day job had moved to working from home. So I had like a 2.5 hour commute every day. Cause I was like living up north, living down south. So because I was working from home, luckily for me, if there's any silver lining in it, was like I had like an extra 2 hours a day. Well, A, probably to exercise, but B, to just like record stuff. I got like, you know, some new mics. I fixed up my drum set. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, man, let me just like set all this in the garage. I'm going nowhere anytime soon. So
it took me until summer to start working on music.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a shitload of podcasts. I did like 100 in like 5 or 6 months.
All remote?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was putting out, there were some weeks where I put out 5 shows a week.
Dang.
I was just like, fuck it. I mean, and the thing is, like, it wasn't like people weren't listening to it. It was my numbers were growing.
Yeah, for sure.
Even per episode where I was like, well, shit. I mean.
Yeah. And everybody had stories.
Plus I had shit to talk to. I had fucking people to talk to.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And a lot of people had stuff to talk about. I mean, it was just like, it impacted everybody in like completely different ways. And yeah, so.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do any live streams? Did you guys ever like live stream from the park at the beginning?
We didn't. No, not officially, I don't think. But we were busy with, you know, whatever we could do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, which was we consistently got together. That's one thing. From
the first time you came on as El Combo Oscuro, that was the fascinating thing.
Yeah. Even if it was like, okay, everyone arrive in a parking lot and walk up and stay 20 feet, whatever, away from each other. Don't even go near each other with a mask. But we figured out a way to pretty much get together and keep the ball rolling, work on ideas, and they kind of started falling into place.
Yeah, you asked if we had ever streamed from that hangar. We haven't, but I think like...
That would sound like shit, though.
Peter had mentioned it earlier, because you also asked like about... You know, what's on the horizon? One of the things
that live stream from the hangar.
Well, I mean, we're thinking like, okay, well, we got to like put more media out because right now we're kind of working show to show, release to release, but we don't really have any like bigger picture. Like, we have a music video that we did, which, it was for one of our songs, Guess We'll Need
It's already out.
It's already out. We did it just kind of as like a passive video to have something on there. But, I mean, it's just kind of sitting out there and, you know, I check it every once in a while and, you know, it's up a couple of hundred plays because anytime our name's on a flyer or whatever, you know, that's where people look on. They want to see what we sound like and what we look like. But Peter had mentioned kind of like a hangar idea and we're like, well, I don't know. Would that even sound good or how do you do that? Because... Or what if we get
shut down?
What if
another band shows up?
Well, for me, I'm like, what if we get shut down and we have people that we're paying like to run cameras and then another band shows up or, you know,
we
get kicked out or something. But It definitely is part of our story. We were just playing in the park.
Yeah, take it back to the roots.
Yeah.
You know, right where it started.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be the story.
I wonder about stuff like that. Like, are you guys, I mean, it seems like you guys always have, like, content, but I think it's just because you're fucking playing all the time. It's like, hey, like, and your shows, like, the videos that you post, everyone's, you know, the party's going on. And I'm cognizant of that because I'm kind of, like, the guy that tries to do that during Skyrocket shows. Like,
yeah,
the moment
sure.
where I'm not doing anything and, yeah. like, everyone's, you know, at their most excited because you want to be at that party when you see that on social media.
Yeah, for
or feel
sure.
bad that you missed it. You're not going to miss the next one.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we do is start parties.
One of the things that we always try to mention, like when we play live, is like, hey, if you get videos of us, like just
tag us,
like tag us,
yeah,
because
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like. That content
it's
is
gold.
Created for
it's
you.
It's fucking gold,
I do
dude.
See a big difference.
And they'll send us
when it's not you posting it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Was that like you going like I'm cool, I'm cool,
or it's not me taking a selfie, you know, in front of my keyboard, like hey, I play keyboards, and you know, it's like somebody else, like you know, there's a people dancing, and we're on stage. It just
it means
it
the
feels,
world.
It feels you know like a little bit more enticing.
And everybody's using their fucking cameras there anyway. So
yeah, for sure.
Tag us
for
in
sure.
and post it. I will have talked about this in the intro, so we wouldn't have been talking for like 45 minutes just about whatever and not really talking about the fact that this Vega comes out on this Thursday, April 20th. Good day for
that's
music,
dude. Takeoff.
Strategic?
Like, and that's
question
the Spega actually means liftoff.
Liftoff.
Tea time, you know.
I thought it was like disconnect. No.
Unstuck. It could be
stuck too.
There's no direct translation, but the closest thing that if you look up like five times, three out of five is going to be liftoff.
How's your Spanish? Off. Like, what's your are you what level are you at?
Spanish?
Yeah, 1 to 5.
5.
Coño.
Yeah. Sí, es igual, inglés, español, no acento. I was just the right place at the right time, you know. Mauro's from the border, everybody's bilingual there. It was you, Cuban-American, you know, American-Cuban.
That's the other thing that bums me out about Sevilla leaving, is you're like, God, man, we got...
yeah, for sure.
You know they have this guy on Saturday Night Live now? There's a Cuban guy?
No.
There's a new guy, he's Cuban. But he does like... some of the shit he does, like, so specifically Cuban, like, it's never been done on Saturday Night Live. And it's like what you think of, like, you know how Asians and black people and all kinds of people of color talk about how they never saw themselves on television. I'm like, well, dude, like, there's Ricky Ricardo, and that's it. Dude.
Yeah,
until Scarface.
Much. Yeah,
pretty much.
Unless you had PBS and watched Que Pasa USA, which I don't... That was about a family that had moved from Cuba that was, exactly life.
Yeah.
But... that nobody watched that show, but to have a guy like on Saturday Night Live, like I've gotten texts from family members like, have you seen this? I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
But like every Sunday, they're like, oh, he did a thing last night and he did the accent and he was so good. And
nice. Yeah. That's cool. I got to look that up. My fiance's dad is from Cuba.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Is he texting you? Does he like you? Does he have a problem with?
Yeah, I think does he like me as a person?
Well,
or
you know,
like for
like
his daughter?
Yeah, Latin dads can be tough.
No, he's super cool.
Okay.
Yeah, we click and he's an amazing guy and cool.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're listening, you're cool.
You're cool. Oh yeah, don't
Mauro approves.
Hey Johnny man, can you edit from
Mauro approves
he hates
of
me.
His sweater.
Okay, so this song drops on Thursday, April 20th, when people will be enjoying the day on a psychedelic way.
Yeah.
Not very mellow psychedelic way. But there's an AMF live stream at 9 a.m.
There's an AMF
what does that
live
mean?
Stream. I think you got it's that on our website calendar, right?
Is that bad? Yeah, that's how I do my research.
So John, on our website it says AMF live stream of the song.
Is that a
name.
Thing?
I think that the live stream was one of those bots that comes up with a word I think it was like Bands
AI?
Of Town or something. Yeah, AI.
Don't get
but
involved with that, man.
It's the release. It's the release. Yeah, there's no live stream.
Okay. No live stream. All right.
The live stream is a lie.
I'm scratch that out. Well, luckily, I'm doing that intro in a minute, so who cares?
But we do have some other stuff going on that day, right, that I don't know if we could talk about yet, because you told me on the way in.
What do you mean?
Well, KUTX.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know about that.
That's going to be...
KUTX is playing the tune.
Yeah, Song of the Day.
Song of the Day.
So that's
going to
be
also
pretty cool. The April 20th Song of the Day is El Combo Oscuro. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. The whole thing's exciting, man. Just have the whole, you know, all... It's been a great experience.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a relationship with the Sun Radio Cats?
I've seen them at Gueros.
Yeah.
The show they've doing. I've been like... catching them off and on for years, but I don't know anybody over there.
I need to help out with that,
because
I'm wondering why they're not involved, and then maybe that was supposed to be my responsibility. Edit out 4138. No, I'll make sure that they do something. You guys should be doing one of those.
Yeah.
They need it. They need a, you know, it's a lot of singer-songwriter guys there sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Those people dancing. What's going on? You guys are doing a Cinco de Mayo at Hotel Vegas. You're doing Psych Fest April 30th. You're playing in Dallas at Art Mission Oak Cliff on Friday, April 28th.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a... What
man,
is that?
That venue is amazing. It's a guy that we work with called Victor. He's from Chosky's group, and they put on events in Dallas. Really, you know, he curates the bands and the events and does a real nice production. And
cool.
Super nice guy, too. So,
What do you guys have planned for the summer? Because the summer, there's going to be another single drop, right?
There is another. We did two with AMF, with yourself and Anar and Johnny and Frenchie. At the Bubble. And so we did two. So we have another one we're going to release. And then Mauro, if you want to chime in, we got some stuff in the works.
Well, probably after summer. But for sure in the summer, we'll have the second release that we did at the Bubble that sounds really big and incredible. And like it matches a production of our release this week. But
it's super excited about that. I don't mean to interrupt, but dude, I'm so freaking excited about releasing that song.
Yeah,
I love that
for
song
sure.
A lot.
It's one of our. Oh, it's one of our. We get a good reaction when we play that live. It's called Solitera. If you're listening, and you know, obviously it's not available online yet, but it's people like it. It's a cha cha cha, and it kind of breaks up our predominantly cumbia set. You know, so we're excited to release that. In terms of shows, we have some dates booked in, but I don't know if, you know, those can be announced yet. But we have some pretty cool stuff happening in the summer in town and possibly out of town as well. And so that should be cool. But right now we're just trying to, from a strategic standpoint, like show-wise, we're trying just to promote the most recent thing, especially because, you know, some of these are really big. So, like, obviously Austin Psych Fest is really incredible, and we're super excited about that. And then
420 Song of the Day.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Oh, but we're also, at the end of the year, we have about six or seven songs that are that we're working on, and it's like a DIY production. So we're recording those. And,
oh, cool!
Yeah, towards the end of the year, the plan is to release those as another sort of larger release of music. And so far, we've recorded, you know, some of the stuff, and it's sounding just incredible. And you know, we've written some new songs since we saw you at the Bubble. We've written more songs and stuff, so we're excited to be releasing some new stuff, but that's probably going to be after summer.
I want to drop a name.
Okay.
Austin Cumbia Festival.
When is that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There, I said it. It's going to happen.
Oh, well, it's not a thing yet.
Okay. Now there's no
backing
down.
I was like, I'm sure. When is it?
We don't know where. We don't know how, where, when, but it's in the works, and it's going to happen.
We
got to
apply for that grant that, you know, that's going around for stuff.
She's
like that.
Coming in on Erica Shamley is coming in to talk about that.
That's incredible. That's incredible that they're doing that
day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Austin Cumbia Festival. We're gonna make it happen.
Make that happen.
I'm gonna have mountain on that. We'll figure
God,
it out.
God, you might even be able to go and partner, like take that idea to South by Southwest.
Well, we actually,
because like, man, that venue, had it not been so cold, and I left before you guys played. Don't be mad. I left before Jake ended. I was cold.
Oh, yeah.
At South by Southwest.
Yeah. Sheraton,
it was just cold.
Sheraton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's fault. It was a great idea, but it just got really cold. Yeah.
What an odd South by weather pattern.
Yeah, it was weird. Anyway, had it been just a normal night, it would have been amazing for me. But that venue, as a venue, would be like a cool place to have something like that.
It's like walk up. Yeah, it's like walk up. I mean, you could hear it from
the street.
You know, for sure.
It seems like it would be such a vibe to have
a location.
Yeah. Is it a venue? Or was it just a venue for
South by? I thought you would know. I don't know.
It's the backyard of the Sheraton. Yeah, so
it's the backyard of the Sheraton, but it had a name, right? The backyard of the Sheraton.
The backyard.
But it also seemed like it had a bar out there. Yeah. It seems like it. They had those benches and stuff. It seemed like it. It's
maybe courtyard.
Maybe they put that stage there for it, but I mean, I thought it was fucking cool.
Yeah. Plenty of space too.
Plenty of space.
I don't know, like if you remember, even behind the tables, there's kind of like a tiered system there, and there's even like more tables, you know, from the patio, and plenty of space there for like a larger event.
I do remember.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really fun.
It was.
So Austin Cumbia Festival.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've put it out into the world. So
I'm committed.
You'll manifest it.
I'm excited about this stuff. Do you guys, you guys don't have like a summer residency somewhere? That's what I think. Why don't you have one of those?
Well, we did one at Hotel Vegas.
You did. I know, but why not this summer?
We did that in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not so yeah. Bad.
I feel like I want to see people sweating outside to your music.
Yeah,
not
for
you
sure.
guys in particular, but the crowd. You know what I mean? Like sure. really
dancing and kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
There are some big things that we're going to be playing in the summer that will be, you know, kind of like that vibe. I think initially we had kind of left some dates open to see some other stuff that we played in previous years to see if they hit us up. I don't know if they have yet. But I mean, yeah, from this, like, you know, thinking about like July or something like that, we still, you know, have like an open schedule in August. So, you know, there's still plenty of time to book some of those things and, you know, see what becomes of those months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get to debut the song, not in its entirety, though. He'll hear pieces of it, right?
Nice. All right.
Okay. All right. I will reach out to the Sun Radio people on your behalf because it, I might even see Kevin tonight. I have a feeling I might see Kevin.
For the events at Aguero's?
Yeah.
It'd work perfect there.
Oh, yes. Totally perfect there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would benefit from that sort of thing, I think.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Anything else that I'm leaving out? People can find you guys at elcombooscuro.com, Cumbia Capital EP, and El Sonido Tan Rico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both available for stream everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
You guys got the Bandcamp, right?
Yeah, we got Bandcamp up.
We got the Bandcamp.
Bandcamp's awesome, especially those. They do, I think, quarterly that Friday where all the proceeds go directly to the band. And that's, that's super awesome.
I don't think it's every Friday, but they have Fridays.
Yeah, I get an email when it's like, a reminder like, hey, it's Artist Friday, and that's really helpful. So
my social media fills up with, hey, man, today's the day. Do it, please. Yeah, it all goes.
Give. Share the love.
Give. Anything? Seriously?
No, just
I love you guys, man.
That's
I do.
Too, Johnny.
I think
you're for sure, man.
I'm glad that we become friends and I'm glad that we got to go through the ADP program together. I'm glad that you guys got something out of it and are so happy with your experience. That's a good feeling for someone in my position.
Oh man, that was quite the I just couldn't. The one thing that stands out in my mind.
I gotta say, you were easy too. Like, there's not a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't some weird thing.
But the one thing, like, you know, because we showed up early, and typically stay late at a studio, and I think after like 12 hours or even more than that, you know, we were getting kind of loopy.
Yeah.
But you guys did not show the first sign of
wanting
to
they
give
didn't.
Up.
I'm like, I left.
How long do these guys...
I can't take credit for that marathon shit. Him and Anar, they don't even do cocaine or Adderall or anything. They're like literally...
It's straight
just
adrenaline.
Two dudes. Like, I don't know.
14, 16 hours straight of studio. It's like...
Yeah, that was an incredible opportunity.
You know, we used to do these like all back to back. No days off.
That's kind of rough.
And like Frenchie was the same on the last day as he was on the first day. Like it was just one of those weird things where I would just be like, I didn't even know what song is this? Oh, I thought that was, no, that was a song from last week. Oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Be like, no, you know, and you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, what do they make you out of?
He's a beast, man.
They're both beasts like that.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not lazy. I'm just a fucking human being. Like, yeah, at no, first I was always hours. Like, at first
maybe
I was always like,
something's wrong with me.
Yeah, I was like, God, what is wrong with me? Like, I don't want to stay 14 hours until like, yeah. And they like thrive on, like, that's the thing. Like, oh yeah, we were there until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Yeah. You just go home.
They like to.
They like it. Yeah. Yeah. They're fucking great. And that you guys, it was a good combo.
Yeah.
A good combo of school. Dude, thank you so much for doing the show again.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Okay.
That's John Dell and Mauro Lopez from El Combo Oscuro. Their single, Despegue, drops this Thursday, April 20th, baby. That's 420. You can find them at elcombooscuro.com. Go see them at Austin Psych Fest 2023 on Sunday, April 30th. Just go to elcomboscudo.com. Get involved with their stuff. I love talking to those guys. Thanks for the sandwich. It was a great time, gang. If you want to find out more about Austin Music Foundation, go to austinmusicfoundation.org. Get involved there. All right? And if you do not subscribe to this show yet, subscribe, bro. Come on. What are you doing? Subscribe. We got so many shows, baby. So many shows. Subscribe. You're getting a new show every Tuesday and every Thursday. Or every Friday, sorry, every Tuesday and every Friday. This Friday, I'll be talking to Robert Harrison from Austin's Cotton Mather about their classic album, Contiki, as a collaboration with Magnet Magazine's Magnet Classics podcast and their host, Hobart Rowland. This is our first collaboration with another podcast, so you'll want to hear that. Anyway, here's the rest of this gorgeous song, Despegue, from El Combo Oscuro, out this Thursday, April 20th. Let's get down.